And yes, a job for a good look and go, well, that's just rubbish, anyone could do it. But the component they're saying anyone could do it is just the written word. The actual act of doing it in the location, they're not getting it. Not anyone could do that. Only a few select individuals can do that.
Yeah.
So you can take something so basic as just writing like that, and it's not easy. Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
Street Culture TV.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Are you ready? For your travelling. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, or as central as what? Central as you need to be, serves you jolly well right. Thank you for joining us, sharing is caring, spread the word, tell a friend to tell a friend. Our sponsors, the mighty GK Nifty Heads, have a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gkniftyheads.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024. And if you want more of that good stuff, you know the Kellervision app is also there, along with all the other amazing things that you can find on the Kellervision channel, from graph battles to walk tours to mini docs, big docs, small docs, DJ mixes and more. It's all there. So we have a gentleman here that arguably I think has travelled the furthest in the UK than any of my guests. He left about 3 o'clock this morning. He's joking. But you'll be very pleased to hear that if he did, he would be out on a rampage, because he's part of the Night Shifters, the TNS. And if you know about your Newcastle crew, then you'll know this name, the Grand Imperial Brother Inch inside the house. How are we?
All good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Legacy holding in the building.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me, man.
I love it. So if you're not watching and listening, Inch is donning a rather attractive mask, which off the bat I was like, this is going to be one. Like, it's going to shock the fuck out of people. But it actually does not help, because I cannot read your face apart from the one you've got on.
Yeah. You can't tell whether I'm smiling, laughing or what, can you?
No, I can't. He's absolutely thrilling the fuck out. But, you know, for those that don't know, he's a very attractive man. He's just, you know, for all
very charming. People. There's a big smile on my face.
Right now he's smiling. He's smiling, dying for a drink, but he's in good stead. How you doing? How's the journey down? All right.
Very swift. Yeah? It's just one stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many hours is it from Newcastle?
Just shy of three.
3 hours?
Yeah, I think it was 2 hours 55.
Yo, that's quick. Going to Blackpool is a whole different... Going to Manchester's not too bad, but, you know, Leeds is a long way away. You know, the Northern Quarters, you know, they're hard to get to for us, you know, Southern Shandy drinkers.
I'll say the cliché is north of Watford, isn't it? Therefore, you struggle.
Yeah, it's struggling. I mean, you're very well versed in the systems down here in London. But I just have to hail up my Newcastle crew. Big shout out to Swainy. Big shout out to all the TNS guys. I just feel the moment you hit the bridge and you land in Newcastle, I have such an affliction for it. I feel like I'm in a whole nother island. It's one of my favourite places to be, man.
Well, is that you as an individual or as a performer?
Both, I think.
Both?
Yeah. I mean, I could spend days there. I love it there. Don't know what it is.
People?
The people.
Yeah.
It's just another...
Well, they move
vibe.
A lot of call centres to the north because it's, you know, it's like the old joke. Northerner goes south, terrorises people by saying hello and leaving doors open for them, isn't it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I come to London, it was, it's forlorn and how I remembered it, you know what I mean?
Really, what will you land is just like, fuck, like, intense.
Yes.
Is it?
Well, not...
No.
It's a bit overly dramatic saying that intense, but yeah, it's like, whoa, it's different, you know what I mean? It really is.
It is intense, dude. It's like, there's no two ways about it. It's just
I could buy a two-zone travel card last time I was here, you know what I mean? Now, you got to tap in, tap out everywhere, you know what I mean? And I'd assume most places are cashless, aren't they?
Yeah, just tap, 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 tap. Although my more recent problems have been that my phone does not work on the TFL, which absolutely doesn't matter. I tap, it doesn't work, tap, it doesn't work. So I've been relegated to being in my neck of the woods for some time now. Hence why I couldn't meet you.
Well, yeah, I haven't got a smartphone. No. I've got a dumb phone, you know.
No, no, yeah, I know. It is. It's a cheap to use phone, right? Is that through security you choose not to have a Tekka's phone?
It's the functionality of it. I can phone someone, they can phone me and get in touch. I don't need any of that extra stuff, you know what I mean? When you get on the train, everyone's like zombies head in the phone, you know what I mean? The more smart devices you've got, the dumber your society. Why would you need to learn anything if you've got everything you would potentially need to know in your hand?
Not particularly smart, you mean?
No, society in a whole, the more smart devices you've got, the dumber your society, because why would you need to learn anything?
Interesting, yeah. Because
it's doing everything for you, isn't it? Yeah, you know what I mean?
What do you think of AI?
Creepy and very dangerous. I'll give you an example on something that I watched. And I watched this about, I might be proven wrong if I was to get it up on YouTube, but it was consumer surveillance, and it was about a lady in America and how her dad found out she was pregnant before she even knew. And how it came to that was she would do her shopping online. So she'd buy all her products online. And she changed her shampoo. Something slight and innocuous, she changed her shampoo, right? She went from a strongly scented shampoo to a non-scented shampoo. The algorithms in the computer thought, because she changed her shampoo, she was pregnant, because when you're pregnant, your sense of smell's heightened. So that had picked up on that. In the meanwhile, her dad had been around using a laptop, and because the algorithms assumed, correctly in this case, that she was pregnant, she was getting little things for, like, nappies. So her dad rightly pulled her and goes, oh, well, this is all coming up on here. Are you pregnant? She's going, of course I'm not, Dad. He's going, well, that's coming up on there. Have you not been searching for that? No, I haven't. Anyhow, about a week later, they found out she was pregnant.
That's fucking mad, isn't it? That's my okay. So let's throw that.
That's fucking creepy. I'm not creepy, comfortable with that.
So let's throw that into.
I mean, big tech and other people don't need to know that much about my personal life.
So let's throw it into the context of graph then. So how do you think that impacts, you know, illegal graph in 2024?
Well, I'll go further. How does it impact policing in general? It's all done retrospectively, and it's like Chief Wiggin. These crimes don't solve themselves. They can just. Like your boss, you know what I mean? If you've been ringing in, saying, I'm ill, I can't come in, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's odd. On your social media. You're out in the pub last night.
Yeah, on a boozer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. not even as a tracking device. So kind of, obviously, the tracking device...
So you're kind of policing yourself in a way.
You are. But you're constantly doing that, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're paying for the pleasure because you've got a contract with somebody.
See, y'all snitches. You're all of you are snitches.
But would you trust big tech in that sort of way?
It's better the devil you know. It's an evil, a necessary evil. If you're gonna do mostly from the entertainment side of things, but you could also apply it to sport. You could anything with it that helps heighten your understanding and opportunities. That's what tech is to me, really.
But it's how you use the tech as opposed to how it uses you, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's you putting that filter on it and you deeming what is. Appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the phone I've got is appropriate for me. And if I was hypothetically going pin, I wouldn't take a phone with me.
You wouldn't take a phone with you?
No, not at all. I mean, back in the day, you just make sound arrangements with someone, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you
pay
there.
Phones. Yeah.
And I would gauge it on individual to individual. So if I'm going with Royal and I know I'm to be punctual, I'm fine. If it's Meds and I know he can be a bit late, he's got a 20-minute grace window for that, you know what I mean? Then I'm going paint by myself.
This is interesting. So,
because that's how you would do it, and I've lived longer my life arranging things in that format as opposed to relying on them technologies.
Yeah,
because no one will make kids will make solid arrangements.
Do you think people prefer that? Like Royal, big up Royal. You know, great example of somebody like you say punctual on it.
Well, I'll go first. Like I've got a, I don't know what you call them. If you're in the drug fraternity...
Burner phone?
Burner phone. If you're in the criminal fraternity, you refer to them as that. He's got a burner phone, and it's an immobile. He leaves it in the house. So it's a kind of like, back in the day, if I wanted to chat to you, off-peak calls, after seven, you're going to be in the house. and it's a free phone call pack. You know, I'd ring people in that manner, you know what I mean? I think it just means people don't make firm arrangements.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do something with you. We'll go there. We'll go to that gig.
Yeah.
What time? I'll text you when I'm leaving.
Yeah.
What the fuck good is that?
Yeah. That's sort of, are you going to be there or not? Be there on time or not?
No, but it's like...
Yeah. It's like, pick a time.
Then you get a running diary. I'm on the bus. I mean, yes, if you're late, it's fucking handy, but you can gauge that individual. If you've had an interaction with that individual, you can gauge on... Yeah, like when I met you, I was looking for which way you would come. I don't think I got it right.
Dude, he walked out and he was almost there, like pointed, yes, I see you. Like, that's mad. Like, I didn't even need to... A lot of time people in London, I have to describe whereabouts it is. You were just like, hi.
No, but like...
Is that an intuition?
I was talking to you off camera about coming to London.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I came was 1991 to paint.
Yeah.
And the world was a bigger place, you know what I mean? I got an overnight coach. I can't remember, it's a long time ago. But like, we went to one place to paint. We had to shake a leg. Mm. We went to another. And I just had some vague description of someone of this other place. Obviously, they give us a stop to get off at. Mm. But to get to the yard, I seem to remember it being a bit of a... Not a massive hike, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you've been busy so very early days, haven't you? You know, you've used intuition wisely and even come into London a lot. And
But you've got to be as a writer. So like, if you were painting something on the streets...
Mm.
And you're looking at the people come by, and I go, they're a student, they're not going to give a shit.
Mm.
He's over 50, he looks like a job's worth.
Mm.
He's got a dog, he might be local, therefore this is in his area, he could ring them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got to think and process all this sort of stuff, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's perhaps informed intuition, but you've got to do it. You know, you've got no smartphone or any device for that.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's you as a person. It's a human component, and it's a human experience you're getting out of doing that, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that graph teaches you, isn't it? You know, use your intuition. Stay.
You can't be complacent and totally rely on that, but there is a big element of that.
What's the biggest thing that you discovered up to this point, you know, harking as far back as you will, where something suddenly, the penny dropped and you were in a situation, you were like, wow, that's a bit of... insight that you've suddenly clocked, you know, something of like, whoa, like...
Well, now most people, they're on the fucking phones. They're like a zombie. You know, I forgot who you had on your podcast and it says like adult pacifiers. Mm. That's a fucking great term and I'm in 100% agreement with that.
Mm.
Like people, because it still freaks me out. You're like walking down and someone says, hello.
Mm.
And they've got... Is it pods? They've got pods in and they're talking on the fucking phone.
Yeah, that's
I think they're addressing me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, what the hell? But now, people don't look at the environment. I mean, you're too busy in a rat race. You're too busy driven. It's just, I mean, they've got attention engineers to keep you on that thing, haven't they?
Mm.
And then there's endless scroll. But people, like I've seen it today, like it's like Basil Fawlty. I can see someone walking towards us with their phone. And like they don't even look up, and I'm like sort of tutting and mumbling under my breath,
mm-hmm.
you know, shrugging and going, you know, it's
they don't care.
I don't know if there's an age range where it's applicable, and I'll cut them some slack, but they're of an age where you should know better, you know what I mean? I'm like, nah, like I seriously don't want a smartphone, I've never needed one. Should I need one, then I might. I mean, I think my hand will be forced at some point where you can't get them phones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
This is not necessarily graph-related, although it could be handy in that sort of thing.
Because
you can take the battery out, you can do that, you know what I mean? But, like, I've got no interest, you know what I mean?
A rare breed.
And having that buffer
between
things, like these technologies... I think it pierces me because I would become that person pretty quick, I think.
Mm. You reckon? Because the nature of it, it's like...
Yeah, but it's engineered that way. You've got an endless scroll, the same technology they use on slot machines. Mm. You know,
Do you think the technology is a result of why perhaps there isn't enough painstaking effort for people to... And I'm saying this, not this isn't you saying it. You could correct me if I'm wrong. That there isn't enough... attention to detail on people's pieces? Do you think it's because they don't have the time or attention to develop or, you know, progress?
Can you be more specific with the location of them pieces? Because necessity dictates. If it's a Hall of Fame...
Hall of Fame.
I'm not sure, because I don't...
You don't really do Hall of Fames, do you?
No, I do. But I'm not opposed to them. I do, you know what I mean? They are handy. But again, you had someone on your podcast, and Hall of Fame, it was like... Strictly Kings are better. You had to do burners. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Baps. Yeah, big up Baps.
You had to do burners. Now it is just somewhere you practice.
Mm.
And like, yeah, if you do a Hall of Fame, that's a painting of graffiti. That isn't graffiti.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm gonna, it's definitely that. But yeah, like graffiti's so fragmented that you've got like System Boys are only like. I collect subways with only 3 stops, and you've got 2 minutes. You've got that end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got like your style writers in Halls of Fame,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a whole, you know, it's evolved and it's gone in many different directions. Good, but you can sort of.
Do you like that? You like that, the fact that it's vast like that?
So some aspects I might not particularly like that avenue, but I like it that to know that it's there and that is there for someone. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to beat down on someone who does that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with my painting. I'd be doing graffiti. It would be illegal,
mm-hmm.
but I'd be a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to get up because, using if you're a subway writer, if they're not going to run that,
yeah.
If that was New York, if you assume the origins of graffiti come from New York, if they had a subway and never ran it, no one would see it. Try to run with it. Mm. It wouldn't be the global thing me and you were having this conversation about.
Yeah.
You know, so there's whole different bits. I was a generalist. I want to get up. I want to get seen. I want writers to like it and understand it, but I'm not going to eliminate the public. I want them to see it, and I wanted them, you know, if you're putting your arse on the line, it's for everyone, like an advertisement.
Blanket impact.
Yeah. An overkill with that, you know what I mean? Like coming down, I haven't been in London for a while, so I don't know some of the names, but the names I do know, it's no thrills. It's just fuck you. It's straight in your face. Mm-hmm. There's people like 10 foot and talks.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get that. That overkill. That repetition. And yes, a Joe Public could look and go, "Well, that's just rubbish. Anyone could do it." But the component they're saying anyone could do it is just the written word.
Mm.
The actual act of doing it in the location. They're not getting it. Not anyone could do that. Only a few select individuals can do that.
Yeah.
So you can take something so basic as just. Just writing like that, and it's not easy.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean?
I completely agree. So the Metro's up in Newcastle getting, they're running at the moment, right?
Yeah, they're running out of the yard. Not only are they running, they've only run in the context of a back jump previously, but the system itself is, they're renewing it and they're bringing in a new fleet. They've had electrical problems. That was supposed to come in November, the first cars, which have already been painted. They were painted Shady and someone else. I think they come in from Scandinavia. They were painted in London before they even got to Newcastle, you know what I mean?
Wow.
They painted in some freight yard on the back of that, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And they've been painted in the hangar before they've even came out. But the old stock, they're running stuff from the yard. And I've seen 5 or 6 pieces. It's 2024, back end of 23. I've never seen that many pieces, really. I mean, if you did your back jump, it would run for that day, or it might run for that peak hour, and then midday they'll take it out of service.
Yeah.
But the kids are winning over the system.
Yeah.
They really are. Not in a big way, just a little, just enough for you to see it. They're winning.
Not an easy task. Newcastle has had its history. I mean, I think Dism, I think Rape, I think Era, I think a bunch of older school cats, but people that were really, you just hear, but graffitism was a great medium for getting the information spreading for its time, wasn't it?
It would be the internet of the day, I guess, to use a lazy sort of analogy, crazy thing, but before that it was fanzines, it was black and white photo copied fanzines, which kind of would lean more to the punk sort of culture that went before.
And on that note, have you got your books with you? We've got to show you some books, some of the TNS books you've got. If you've got any.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, let's see them.
How do we do this, Keller?
Just go get it. Grab it. This is where the mask, there's a slight tinge of regret with the mask. Yeah. Here we go. So
that's the last one.
There we go. So this is the Night Shifters TNS. New styles. Let me get some fucking pages going. In. There we go. Some bad boy business. Serious stuff and all from the Newcastle area. Gatsby, Med, I mean, some nylon in there. Funk. Yeah, I mean, look, you know what it is. You know what it is. Fucking fantastic. And a great example of where the scene's at.
Well, it's supposedly, it's done in a documentary fashion, so it's like a window into that world, you know what I mean? And another good side to it is people don't get the photos pressed, printed anymore, you know what I mean? So you're just left with stuff on hard drives, this, that and the other, where if you do that, it's like getting up. Mm. But also, you've got a hard copy of your stuff because I couldn't recall the last time I got a photo printed of anything, whether it was graffiti or non-graffiti. I've probably not printed a photo in, I don't know, decades.
Yeah, it's like a whole another bag of headache, doesn't it?
It does. So you just got memory cards here with this on a hard drive with that, and you just don't see your stuff. You know what I mean? You don't see your stuff. And then when you it's like being reunited with an old friend. You're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I remember you.
Yeah, totally.
Give us a broad outlook on what the Newcastle scene is saying right now. Like, you know, because we rarely have spokespeople coming up, you know, and for us it's a magnifying glass into the scene.
I'm not trying to pick you apart on that. I don't know, a lot of people doing graffiti, does that constitute a scene? I'd perhaps say...
Talk to me.
There's many pockets of scenes there, or potential scenes.
Yeah.
Like a scene, I'd look through rose-tinted spectacles, and because of the age, I'd go, oh, well, you needed a writer's bench for there to be a scene there.
He's in his 20s, by the way. You wouldn't even know that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. There's like pockets of scenes, but it's got a subway system for a start. So it'd run parallel to a mini London, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, subway writing's just fragmented and graph tourism. There's just loads of people doing that. Mm. But, like, when I was prolific in doing that sort of stuff, the things you'd want to do if you're from this country, you'd try to hit the four subway systems. Mm. I know someone will split hairs and go, oh, that one's actually a light railway. But you'd want to do Glasgow underground. You'd want to do London underground. You want to do Liverpool, you know, that's a subway system, or someone say a light rail, but it's got third rails and that. And you'd want to do the metro, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now, like, my era was intermediate with that, where it was just sort of cementing. And now, like, you can see kids and you've never seen their graph, yet they've did 300 panels and they've...
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, like, they...
Wow, almost fast track. They're
prolific, but the... You go and you go, well, I've got a Newcastle. I know they're from Newcastle. I haven't really seen them. It's weird. But, like, certainly quite recently, possibly pandemic-related, streets is getting a bit of traction and, you know, there's some streets, you know what I mean? But, yeah, there's halls of fame, there's legal spots, there's semi-legal spots, there's track sides. So it's... Yeah, a very mini London. Because you've got to remember, Newcastle really isn't a big city. It's more of a town masquerading as a city. You could walk across, you know, if you pick the shortest point, you could walk across the centre of Newcastle in 15 minutes. 15 minutes, yes, easily. I mean, if you go and like, Haymarket, Central Station, you could do that 15 minutes. You know what I mean? I mean, it's got a big knock-on area because
it
covers South Tyneside, the system itself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And down the coast. But again, it would be no different to saying, well, that's just the Circle Line in London. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
still, if you just took one of your lines,
a borough,
it'd be akin to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. So How far back do you remember? Because, you know, we're talking to a vet here. Never mind when you began, but how far back do you remember a scene? I will call it a hip-hop scene, for argument's sake, for it to descend into
well,
the UK.
It's through that filter that it came in. You know, yeah. Came in
how
that.
How early was that for you? What were the first early, you know,
well,
pieces?
I was aware of it before I started doing pieces. You know what I mean? I was aware of it, but again, you've had people on where graffiti, not necessarily subway orientated New York graffiti was prevalent. Because you had the overspill. Yeah. Of punk and mods,
so,
and like football hooliganism.
Yeah.
So you had the overspill of that. So, you know, I saw that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, 86. I'd have seen pieces.
Yeah.
I'm from a rural part of the northeast. You know, I'd seen pieces in my local park in 86 and that. You know what I mean? Mm. And it as a kid, I'd be drawing cartoons like. Yeah. Well, like I assume most kids, you'd be trying to copy a Garfield or, you know, draw them in the back, you know, because it wasn't really academic. Mm. So at school, you were daydreaming, clarting around, being inventive or drawing on the back of your book, really, weren't you?
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, all right. But I'd heard, about that period, Dougie Fresh, the show would have been on the, possibly Top of the Pops, certainly on the radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it came in that, that package, you know what I mean?
I think people misunderstand the mindset of, like, and this is only speaking from limited experience, is if I put my mindset into using a spray can to do a character compared to putting my mind with a spray can to do some letter form or piece, it's two different mindsets. Do you get where I'm coming from? It's like the creative process, the creative freedom is different.
Yes, and like when I did it, my first pieces, I was still at school, so I did my first pieces in the 6 weeks holidays of 1987. At that point, what you saw was generic words and not individual tags.
Uh-huh.
So like, and you'd have different people chipping in because yeah, we'd have a boombox, we'd be playing Yobum Rush the Show or something, you know what I mean? It sounds really sort of, virgin on cheesy, but batteries were fucking expensive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you have a big blaster, so you were chipping in for 12 batteries.
12-pack, bang, yeah.
So you were chipping in for paying with your friends. So you'd see who had the best assets. You might be better at drawing characters than me.
Mm.
I'll draw the lettering. Such and such might have a steady hand. They're doing an outline. But you would all chip in. And
getting it on together,
Getting it on together, yeah. So the pieces invariably said break, hip-hop.
Yeah.
And then someone would put S, C and E, S in, so it said chip shop. You know, there's all some clown writing that on it. So they said generic words, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, some of it, you know, so I'm trying to think with the kids. Yeah, I think I fancied myself as doing a character at one point, which I've shied completely away from. But you'd like, you were looking at like a Red Dwarf and stuff like that.
Nice.
At a Sinclair Spectrum, so you're looking at Crash magazine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you'd be doing that. You know what I mean? So you'd have your generic word that might say Zulu, might say brick, might say whatever.
Mm.
You go, I want to do a Mickey Mouse. I will draw a boombox. Mm. Or you're trying to do a cityscape, so it looks a bit more. Even though you were living in a village, you wanted a cityscape.
The depiction.
So you're like, you might be like, oh, I'm good at this. Yeah. I can do these silhouettes. You know, so you'd be in on that. So you didn't have a direct sort of thing. You're all... And then I can remember when it switched to, as opposed to a group thing, it was you as an individual when you were getting up and you sort of left the rural village and you were on the transit system and you wanted an individual tag and you were pushing that and your friend was pushing that. But I can remember doing like panels in Saltwell Park. And you were running before you could walk because it was Sicker who I think might have been there with me.
Sicker, yeah, wicked.
And
there's another name, big up Sicker.
And like I was trying to figure out, so if I did my shadow that way, what side does my highlights go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you might like, it was just hard, so I don't know. And I can remember... Spray can art, and there's a Vulcan piece in there, and I could see you use stencils for the highlights. There's like big shines. And for like my GCSE woodwork, I made like a on the bandsaw and made like a highlight, you know, the glint.
Wooden star shine thing.
So I made one of them. So like, I just sprung that on one day because, you know, because like the shines is the last thing you're doing on your piece, isn't it?
It's the fucking worst if you get them wrong as well.
It is. You fucked it. you know what I mean?
Fucked.
Like now with digital photography, if you were doing your first piece, what I would suggest is take a photo before you put your shines on. If you're not confident, then you've got two things, so you can sort of... I can just remember one day rolling that out and going like, I'm in charge of you. Here I come with the shines.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing the shines, like, please look, you know what I mean?
Like, it's how they meant
to
look.
No, look proper bling, you know what I mean? So you just, you know, like, it's hard without sounding old with the technologies and the purpose-made paint people have got, you know what I mean? We were mixing paint and making your own nozzles, you know what I mean?
Did you used to rack? Did you used to rack a lot?
I was fucking shit.
Really?
I tried my best. But it's like anything. It's like, yes, I'm saying I come from a hip-hop, look at this cutie witchy American urban culture coming over. I come from that. So you'd try. I never tried break dancing, obviously, because I'm fucking... but, like, you try different things within that sort of thing. So you'd read it, and you'd try to rack, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, I didn't make it work for me, so to speak, you know what I mean? And it was flawed because time I was painting tracks and doing trains... mixing with some other people, they're invariably the people who were up didn't work. So they're on the dole, so they could do that, they could stay out late. They were racking, you know what I mean? So I'd be doing it on a weekend because I worked. And, we didn't get prosecuted, but I got caught shoplifting twice in as many months, really.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well... the good rackers were fucking selling your painted fucking a pound a can, you know what I mean? I was earning 90 quid a week.
I
was like...
it's a win.
So I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, just like how
you try
anything else. Yeah. You know, like you go, right, I fancy myself as characters because I'm more arty or... like racking was something... come in as an element. It would come in as like, right. And obviously the appeal of... not having to pay for your stuff's fucking great, isn't it?
And mixing a paint as well was part of the art as well, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But, like, everyone, like, had little accidents, you know what I mean? Because you're increasing...
happy accidents.
Well, not as far as a parent is concerned, when you got spray all over the kitchen.
Yeah,
I remember more when the first time I went round here, his mum's, you haven't been doing this, you daft buggy, he's been mixing paint. Because you increase the pressure in one can and potentially lower the pressure in the other.
Yeah.
And you've got like a WD-40 nozzle.
Yeah.
And you're going, so you're making pink smooth rides, you're making all that shit.
Fuck.
But yeah, just like the concave bit.
Yeah.
It'd gone convexed. It was forming out the side and then it was just cartwheeling around his kitchen.
Oh my God.
You know, so. Yeah. So you had all that for you were making nozzles. Like you would. Yeah, you'd melt a bit of polythene, just a solid blob, put it over the hole of the cap, and get a pin and make another sort of...
to make it skinny.
Skinny. And you'd get, like, you see now our Skemos outline?
Yeah.
You'd get like that. So if you're doing your shines, you're doing that. And I remember...
wow.
They've just actually, in the last 4 or 5 years, started to make them. I think they call them a stencil cap.
That's right, with a long kind of... I know. With the dial that you can dial it around?
No, it's like... you've got where the nozzle goes, then you've got a rim there.
Yeah.
It would sit on the rim, and you've got a gap between the nozzle and a bit of plastic, and there's a hole.
Oh, yes, I've seen it. Yes, that's right. You could clip it on.
I went to Bridlington Street Art Festival, and Slick and Risky from LA were painting, and they had, like, they were doing lines like that. It wastes a lot of your paint.
Yeah.
But you were, like, making your own nozzles, you know? You were doing all... in fat caps, you would nick dam start nozzles.
Yeah.
But if you're failing that, you just cut another hole in the back, make the slit wider, you know, so you were making intel,
you're getting mad intel. Mad intel right here. Yep, you're taking notes. Fucking awesome. Fantastic. And then, obviously, it's going out and road testing these things. And,
you'd already made, like, silencers for your paint. You'd figured out, you put a magnet on the bottom. It's the ball bearings. It's, you know, because... then, like Montana, sort of...
say that again. So you put a magnet on the bottom of the can?
Yeah, so it holds the ball bearing, so you're not rattling.
So it's not rattling?
I mean, just even if
fucking
even if
you're genius.
But they made them now. You can get like silencers for cans of paint. Like it's a big like, plastic rim with a magnet on the bottom. What silence? But like you were doing that. You know what I mean?
Man is fucking blown. No stone unturned here. Like this was.
I can't take myself, but like you were reverse engineering what you saw. And yeah. You were thinking out of the box to do stuff. You know what I mean? You would see what had been done, and you're like, well, how do you do that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And inadvertently, sometimes you may come up with an idea that hadn't been forged, but you saw it on something else and thought it was that way.
Yeah. I can't think of an instance. I'm not going to try to stick credit for anything. I come up with that. But yeah, of course. You had to be inventive. You had to be inventive how you'd get up. You had to be inventive with your tools. Everyone was making, you know, you'd be making your own markets out of deodorant things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
With the roll-ons,
with felt. Yeah, yeah, you were doing that, you know? And like, yeah, I remember Kezzer had nicked, literally unscrewed one of the panels on off the Metro platform and was making ink to try to see what would stain best, you know what I mean? I mean, yes.
I've got this sign here. Let's just fucking road test this.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But then like...
homebrew shit.
We started coming to London and we saw all the insides and knew it was punch and Fivins leather dye, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Because you've done a stint of tube action and there's a bunch of heads out there, if they're watching now, will certainly know the reputation of Inch. Tell us a bit more about your London history.
It's a small stint.
It
was just following in the other people that came down, you know what I mean? Mm. I was pretty late within the bracket of people who I hung out with. Like, yeah, Kezza, he had a different tag at the time, but he'd been down before. Mm-hmm. He did Farringdon by himself. He met Drax in there. And nice. I think, yeah, Drax was possibly doing... I don't think he did it, but he turned up, and I don't know why. He's doing that Sex, Drax, and Rock and Roll Hall car in Farringdon.
Like, he got Drax.
But, like, yeah, Mist had been down. Graffs had been down. Sheffield people had been down.
Mist
Carl
out,
had been
man.
Down.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like a natural progression, like London and Tubes, and that was the closest thing to New York, because it was bare metal trains, you know what I mean? What would stain in that, you know what I mean? And they would run, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, right, we've done that, you know, you've gone from there, you've gone here. You're like, well, just keep pushing. You're like, right, we're going to London, you know what I mean?
You mentioned painting with Cherish as well.
Yeah, Cherish and Skye did, I'm trying to think where the writer's bench, we met them there. We went to Loughton on the earlies, like 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. So before they take that, yeah, and, you know, we crossed over the tracks, then it's an embankment and they were down. But it must have been getting hammered because they just cut the bushes down. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I was...
Fresh.
So we were doing the aisles.
Yeah.
But, like, I had no idea what was... Because, like, I literally come down with a bag of paint. Mm. At that stage, like, I had a handful of outlines and just a bag of mixed paint. So, like, mixed cans of paint. Mm. So I had some chromes and this, that, and the other. And I had no idea what I was doing. Mm. But, like, yeah, Cherish had a key. Opened the door and I was like, fuck me, this is New York. This is like something off fucking, you know, Star Wars or something. Ooh. It was just such an exotic world, you know, it was such an exotic world.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to do some insides. I just thought, like, yeah,
I wanted some innocent insides now.
Yeah, like they were like, no, I'll come do it. And I was like, oh. And then I got in because I'm quite tall. I'm like, I can't remember. You know offhand, Loughton, what it would
yeah,
it be?
Left and left.
Would it be South Centrals?
What's as far as what?
So I could, the rolling stock that we'd have in there.
Yeah.
I could pretty much reach the top of the car. So I'm like, I'm doing a top to bottom silver. And I started that, but I think we got seen going down the embankment off the in traffic trains up there.
Right.
I just remember Cherish being next to me and then running out past Skye. And we could see orange vests down the bottom. And, yeah, we got out, regrouped, and he just told us to go to South Harrow, you know what I mean?
Stressful.
It was stressful?
Yeah.
Not at all, no.
Really?
No.
Doesn't ever phase graffiti writers, does it? The thrill of the chase is part of the act, isn't it?
Bearing in mind I was a teenager, it was like, you know, like you do things to get a rise, so you got to chase.
Yeah.
And you got away, you know, it's like, yes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, as you get older, it's like Mare on Star Wars. You don't want to be seen apart from the artwork coming out. You know, you're more cool, calm and collected. Yeah. But as a kid, you want that opposing reaction, that polarised reaction from someone. And the best thing ever is to, like, just be finishing your panel, get chased and get away, you know what I mean? That's the perfect thing, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Love it. We don't condone any of that on the podcast, by the way. You know, so it's nice little stories. This is just a conversation and you just nice little stories. Don't try it at home, please. Thank you. Actually, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, your question?
Things and stuff. Yeah, well, actually, I was just coming to this here. We have ourselves a back and branch line model railway, which is a bona fide thing. This isn't painted. This is printed. This is an authorised model train. I would imagine goes onto those Hornby kind of jobbies, which, you know, we know a lot about as kids. And look, you can see that. What you have there is a bona fide inch train.
Immortalised.
How did this come about?
I'm not sure how it came about. I knew it existed was... I got an email of the NM with an image of that. And when I first saw it, I thought, someone's copied that onto there. That's not a... But they've even, like, aged the panel. Like, the colours are faded and you can see the dirt marks off the thing and everything.
But I'm seeing... Look, the site here, this is how legit it is. If you can see, it's got the barcode and it's got all the details with sprayed train. It just happens to be... train. That's incredible.
I know as much as, well, I know where I did it in Thornaby, and that was photographed in Glasgow.
Oh, really?
So they did research, and they got a genuine photo, some graph, so it was authentic. Because I just thought you would set some graphics board away and do a generic word.
Because
that would be like, it's glorified me, but it would be glorifying someone, you know?
Yeah.
But
this is legit. They took the shot and then they put it on there.
Was there anything
else on the train apart from that? Like anyone else or anything?
Yeah, there was a whole row of them. And we painted several others, you know what I mean? The one next to it, I did a big penis spunking out the word inch. I can't go like
they didn't put that on there, did they?
Yeah, strangely, they didn't do that one.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I'm trying to think who was there that night. I think Chiz might have been there. And if it is that night, he got fucking stoned and he's writing LBS, little bastards, and he spelled it wrong. He was unsuited.
Who else you painted with, brother? Who else is a, you know, top that you've painted with in the past? Because, you know, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah, like me crew mostly, you know what I mean? Because they're your friends. I mean, you've had if you travel, like Skye was a big hookup. He was there that night.
Yeah, big
Cherish.
Skye, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was a window into London. And I'd just do Halls of Fame with him. And it wasn't later on I bumped into Scholar and Chang in Ladbroke Grove.
Scholar and Chang. Go on.
And I just
big up Chang, big up Scholar all day.
So I started painting with them.
What was it like painting with those guys?
It was great because they were enthused, you know what I mean? And it could get a bit... I remember they were like, I'll meet you there. And they're going like, where's that? And I'm thinking, well... I think the first time I went painting with them, I met them at up near Tufnell Park. I met them at Holloway Road, and they were like, asking me, where's that? I'm like, you're from London, mate. Do you not know this?
You should be telling me.
But no, it was good. And the first time I went painting with them, I went to Highgate. And we're just ushering in the new Northerns, and I took a load of stone chip to do a stain. And I thought, right, if I'm going to do these, I'm going to do like a black and white. And I'm going to just fucking make it stain.
Yeah.
Got there. It was one of the new cars I had. Well, new at the time. This would be sort of 99, I guess.
Yeah, late nights. Yeah.
But yeah, I did the world's smallest dub at Royal Oak with them. On that, you know, the big fume and that.
Yeah.
I mean, anything's going to look small. It was along the other end.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we just got on there and did some stuff, you know what I mean? It was good because... Yeah, they were just young and fucking thirsty for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's a sweet spot in any graffiti artist's career, isn't it?
Well, like when I painted London, I didn't do many track sides, but there were the West London up that way where I did them. You know, there's that. I'm trying to think what was on it. When you go into the pit, it might have been a Here piece on the white Porter Hood that had like an Ace playing card instead of one of the letters. I did a dub under that bridge.
Wow.
I remember a car came on and we had no idea how to get off. And the fucking fence was massive.
It's just the things you just do, innit?
Well, it was normal behaviour, you know what I mean?
Normalised, isn't it? Becomes normalised.
Well, yeah, if you're right, that's.
What's the craziest scenario you ever got into through Graf? What's the craziest story you ever had? Where you're like, fuck, this is not normal, this is some other shit.
I was trying to think, because I've seen your podcast and you ask that question.
Well, you had 3.5 hours to work out on the track.
No, come on, but I've been writing for 36 years or something.
36 years.
You know, so, sorry to back that back out and go touche, but, you know.
36 and, like, years.
Any night you go out, it's potentially that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of, I don't know why, I was thinking, I'll think of a London one so it's relevant because I'm in London and it's a London story. But, yeah, we did Whore Cars in South Harrow. I brought the chrome and the stone chip down. I think Royal went to Chrome and Black, bought some Montanas for the background. A couple of weeks, he was living down here, Shepherd's Bush way. I did South Harrow twice back in the day, and this was when all the scrap cars, so you had that Elk, was it a Davis piece in there?
Yeah.
It was like a Hall of Fame. It was like a who's who of London. And obviously, if you did that, you were joining on to that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, right, we've got to get it.
Associative, yeah.
So we've got to get a whole car in there. And about 2 weeks before, 2 weeks, a couple of months perhaps before, we'd been in and did panels in the middle of the day. And I was like, this is fucking wild. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we spent loads and loads of time in there looking at the insides of the trains, photographing all the panels. And then he might have did two panels, and I just did the one. But like now, we're going to come back and do a whole car. But by that time, you were at the top of the yard. And you could literally, because he's going, oh, we're coming daylight. I'm like, ah, oh, no, you can see that. Yeah, so you can see that from the platform there. So we went back one night, the next time I was down to do it. And I'm trying to remember the orientation of the spot. There's a wood to the back and to the side of the houses there. The tracks is there, and there's a park like there, and we came in from that way off the tracks that way. Previously I'd come in the back through the wood, and we're like into some greenhouse and we found a chair, so we got that. But like when we got off at South Harrow, I noticed there was a maintenance van down that side. I think you come in through the houses to get to it if you're official and a worker there. And like I was like, van there, and it was on a night. It was dark. I'm trying to think of the time, but like, so we got over with this chair, got to the yard. At this point,
I got it.
Royal had a camera, so he was filming everything. So we filmed us cutting the fucking film. We'll have this. We're filming that, doing all of this. Got in. Did a whole car, didn't take any shots, coming back next day for daylights. So we go back for daylights, we're in the yard, we're filming everything because it was a Hall of Fame. It was a Hall of Fame with pure names. We filmed loads of it. We're in the driver's cab, there was like scum, or like stickers off like the tube strikes, like off the 80s even in the front of these. There's like the destination rules like that. We were doing that. Anyhow, we get out, but we were fucking seen by someone on the platform had seen us. So you got out the yard, back over the tracks into there.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, we've been seen. It was like a London Underground worker had seen us.
Fuck.
And I go, oh, fucking hell. So like, I mean, it's like kids stuff. I'm like, right, we'll jumble up who's wearing what clothes. Yeah. So, you know, you see he's got a description.
Yeah.
Go on, Roy, put your coat on inside out. I'll get my jumper.
I'll undo the bun of my hair and
like that. You know what I mean? To make us. So, and then we went round to High Street and he had his camcorder in a brown paper bag. And we're like, right, we're not going to go on the tube station. We're going to wait till it's coming in and we're going to fucking peg it up there. Mm. So we're standing waiting and then just fucking plod turned up. Used to. You got descriptions of people looking like you. And like, yeah. And like, we do, like, I'll put your glasses on, you turn that coat inside out. We were fairly obvious, but you're still thinking, oh, well, we made the effort, we tried to disguise.
Yeah.
And he goes, what are you doing? Come here. And he just took us in the car, at which point, we rewound the tape, recorded over, well, set it away and recorded over everything that we had on there.
Yeah.
And he goes, right, there's reports of graffiti. You were seen in there. We're going to take you back to the station, South Harris Station, and we're going to see if you were on camera off last night. So they take us back to the station, take us in. And this, the plod got there pretty fucking quick, and there's like three or four cars. And we're sitting in there, and they get the London Underground worker to go, and he goes, there's no tape in last night. And he says to his mate, the other colleague, he says, go down there and see if you can see any graffiti. And he says, like, there's no point. The place is full of graffiti.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're art students. We just passed on the train. We thought that looked interesting. We would get off to take some photographs.
Yeah.
And he started explaining how dangerous it was. He's given us all this thing. Yeah. We were pressing him for questions. I knew if you're going to get raided in a yard, they turn the electricity off, don't turn it down. So if you're painting the lights, go out in the car, you're going to get fucking raided. They're not, and they've got certain protocol. I don't know whether that was to do when Ray's passed in knees, and I don't know if it's got anything to do with that, or just the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So he did all that. Then the officer plays his trump card. He goes, we've been watching that spot. I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
He says, last week, someone had cut the wire from the fence, unravelled it, wrapped it round the third rail and rang British Transport Police to say someone was in the yard. The whole fence was fucking alive. So they'd been watching that.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck. But they had nothing on us. We taped over the footage.
Yeah.
There's no tape in the...
No.
Because it wouldn't be a digital thing. It'd be like a...
Yeah, when I'm old school,
it was like that. So there's nothing in there.
Bruv, that's mad.
There was nothing in there. And obviously couldn't identify any fresh fucking graffiti in there.
No. Exactly. It's too much.
And he took it on face value that, we kind of arty, we just thought it was interesting. And then just let us go.
Bruv, that's bonkers.
But I don't doubt what he was saying, but I have no idea how you... wrap something around a third rail without getting electrocuted.
I don't know how he
didn't elaborate how they realised it was fucking live, but that's what the police said the situation was, and they'd been watching South Harrow for that, and we were kind of in the mix with all of that, and it just
all of a sudden wrong place, wrong time, or whatever. Wow, that's crazy. How does someone wrap a fucking thing around a third rail?
Because I've tried to think, and I'm like, well, if a train goes by, would that knock it off?
There wouldn't be a day go by when I think about it.
I can't. But like,
how's that work?
But yeah, we're in there, and it's just fucking nice, you know. Just all that history there.
Yeah.
And I've painted some of them from there. They went with Mist. They went to Rotherham. They made into Gillette razors.
Yeah.
Melted down. You know?
Really.
So you're possibly shaving on a Jubilee, or would have been a few years ago.
Wow.
Know? Yeah.
Big up Mist, by the way. You know, I've heard so many people say, "Oh, you know, used to go there." Dulio mentioned it on his more recent podcast.
Right? Yeah.
Man, got about. You know,
he's a nice guy as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he'd be one of them. Yeah. He's continually painted, but there's a point where he made a conscientious shift. In doing, like, some people saw some of his old pieces and saw he's more modern and go, is that the same guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't, or isn't, scared of shaking it up a bit and changing it, you know what I mean?
No.
And, like, he'd be the forerunner to all the hipsters, like, him, Petro and Carl would be the forerunner to all this.
Yeah.
What you see is commonplace now, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of an example of someone who would write and do it, like, in a... Because people are very derogatory and says, is that you? Or it's like naive or hipster graph or outsider graph.
You get
labelled as Eurograph by people who are purists, you know what I mean? But he was prevalent then and impactful. Then he was innovative and ushered in.
Yeah.
You know, like Carl would be a fucking huge influence.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking again, like, one of my favourite crews at that point would be TFW. You've got Siege, you've got Sept.
Crazy, yeah.
You've got Carl, you've got Petro.
Yeah. I mean,
and all with like fucking very, you know, if you go to Cruises, DDS,
yeah.
Teach might shine stylistically in my eyes, yeah, and the yeah. rest might, there's sort of a remit of what is a DDS style, isn't there?
So yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
But for them individuals and that crew, just fucking crazy different styles. Crazy different styles, you know what I mean?
It's so true. I hugely overlooked crew there.
Not in my eyes. Essential, you know what I mean?
Essential, yeah.
And that car, I see if I can describe the whole car. I think it was in Welland Garden Cities on the little platforms. But it was like, it had a big character punching signs.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, there's all your classic, you know, your Cool Crush Dukes.
Yeah, that's right.
And cast panels.
Mm-hmm.
For its era,
mm.
that's equivalent. That's a complete game changer and a standalone, like, legendary piece, you know what I mean?
I agree. Fuck, yeah. I want to see that. What was the Drax piece you just said there? The whole car he was doing?
I don't know whether he did do it. He was in Sex, Drax and Rock and Roll.
Dude.
In Farringdon.
Drax, send that up. I want to see it.
I don't know if he actually did
incredible.
It.
Incredible.
But Keza, in his previous incarnation, bumped into Farringdon, and that is what he was. He said he was doing it. He did meet him. He did know him because he introduced me to him. I do know the validity of it. I don't know whether Drax went back and did do that, but that's what he's doing. It's a nice little number, that.
I love that.
It's like when one period I was painting with Scholar and Chang, and that was me in. But Piers, and I was always like, you should do something like Nobody Beats the Piers or Piers the Whiz. I'm like, I could, it was endless fun you could have with that tag, you know what I mean?
What was it? Prime said he was looking for a piece that him and Teach did called Primary Teacher. Like a whole car, primary teachers.
Right, yeah.
Ain't that something? You know what I mean? Apparently, he's forever been trying to look out for find where that is.
Well, they did it and didn't get shots, and they just assume PDP's got them, or someone might have caught it running, gone on the bus.
It's mad, isn't it?
I love anything like that.
Missing pieces.
It just writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Sounds like a pun as well, doesn't it? But yeah.
It's like urban legend, isn't it? These kind of pieces.
God. Yeah, you had that without the internet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like London to us was a big place, exotic, and it was Chinese whispers, you know what I mean?
What was it like going back up to Newcastle once you'd done, you know, a couple of two panels or whatever?
For that week, you'd just be fucking painting, because you've seen what it's like in London and it's not like that up there, and you're like, oh, we've got to make it look like London.
Harder up there.
Yeah. Of course, it was an energy level you felt. It was like an energy, a graffiti energy drink. Mm. You come down, you're like, fuck it, I'm...
yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Like, when I first got, just like... Yeah, just all the stands, you know what I mean? Like, first time I came to London, got off King's Cross, went down. Them rubble, fucking ours, stains.
Crazy.
There's probably been stained for 2 or 3 years. Certainly 2 years. You
and
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And might I just say, to caveat what I just said there, it sounded quite maybe London-centric. I love the scene, the UK scene as a whole. I feel like there's some, like Bristol, Jesus. Let's start with Bristol. Birmingham, you know,
but
Manchester.
Places like Hull.
Yeah.
One of my favourite...
Crazy!
Pinky.
Yeah.
You know, he gets absolutely no mention.
Yeah. Big up Pinky, 100%.
You know, then places like that, you know?
Just insane levels.
Sheffield, which
Leicester. Sheffield, absolute. Now, I've never... That's such a dedicated scene to the Sheffield. Sheffield scene is fucking incredible, man. Love it.
But we were coming to London for lots of different things. Like, you wanted a name buckle. We got a four-star general at Camden.
Yeah.
But we used to buy Hype magazine. The Australian...
That's right.
I think it was a graph mag originally. Then it was broad. It was hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he meant it had, like, pink Krylons and, you know, just shit like that.
Oh, I ignored that.
He just never sold half the stuff he had in there. Bless him.
We were coming to buy records, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like black music, and black music didn't make it north. I mean, yes, you had North and Soul, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's rock you get. You know, so buying records. Yeah. I was coming to London. You know what I mean? I'd go to Bongos and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Never reached the top. I remember when Swainy come down a couple of times. Again, big up Swainy. You know, it was such a exotic. For, you know, the age we was as well. You know, because I wasn't from London originally, but you know, there was enough culture about to be in the presence of a record store that sold hip hop and drum and bass and things like that. So it's quite rare. I mean, it's obviously different now, but you know, at the time it was,
well,
as importing stands.
Yeah, but like before the internet, you'd get record mailing lists you'd do mail on.
Liberty Grooves and things like that.
Yeah, of course.
I rate that. Old school.
So like, yeah. And like when I met Chang, I remember he was into like, because I like all sorts of music, but I was into hip hop to about 93. I followed it to like when I got a proper job in 1990, I was sort of retrospectively buying stuff 86, 87 onwards because I didn't have that. I just had a tape.
At the time, yeah.
But like I got into it and then I was buying it about 93, so Black Moon got you open. And then there was a bit, it went West Coast or whatever, yeah. It went, or down South.
Yeah,
but when the indie stuff came back, so like Fondlem label, I was keen on that.
Brilliant, yeah.
And I could only get it like mail order or go to Bongos and get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like London was...
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
You know?
Fondlem, what were the other ones? Peanut Butter Wolf's label, what was that called again?
I don't know, I didn't.
Raucous and all that stuff.
Oh, Raucous, yeah. Kind of Company stuff. Flow's on that, yeah.
Yeah, love Company Flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times, man. So what's the future, my brother? What is the future for the Inchman TNS?
I've been doing some prints. We've been doing more books with Gatsby and Meds and that. And just chilling. Just keep doing it. I've got a print release coming up with Electric Sheep.
Nice.
Like I'm always going to paint in one context or another. Always like it. You
never
know
leaves your blood, does it? It stays in you.
That's probably the reason. Like I was having a conversation. I don't think I could drink. I don't think I could stop in.
No.
I don't think I'd want to stop in.
Your addiction. That's your impulsive thing.
Well, I've
your Achilles heel.
No, I've got two. I've got two hobbies going on in tandem, and one keeps the other at bay. it's record buying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if I didn't buy records, I'd have more money and more time for paint.
Yeah.
And I think I'd have been in prison, and that might have changed my opinion.
Of
graffiti, because, like. In Newcastle, all my peers are contemporaries who were my age, did time.
Yeah.
You know, straight up did time, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's about me doing graph instead of graph doing me.
Doing you, yeah.
And it's a bit like you've seen Fear in Northern Las Vegas where he says, never turn your back on a drug, never turn your back on graffiti. It's a fucking monster. They just fucking have you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Well, you never know how much he's got you until you've gone too far and he's really got you, right?
Well, I do. There's a 10,000 bounty on me. I was fucking public enemy number one. And I was like front page of the papers, you know what I mean?
Really?
I was on Crime Stoppers.
What?
you know? So, yeah, they're trying to do like a Fister type thing, you know, and all that.
£10,000?
Yeah, there's a bounty on me.
Wow.
And then the papers were in a story that I was in Australia because someone did an inch tag on their bridge that looks like the Tyne Bridge, you know?
What? Bonkers.
So, yeah, it'll fucking turn your back on it, it'll have you, you know what I mean? They'll ruin you for that shit, you know what I mean?
Very few people can say that. I mean, you obviously you get the Crime Stoppers, but to have a bounty to that value on your head.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, Fister time, you're talking like that kind of era.
That's what I'm talking with him, yeah. But like for me, it was equivalence. I mean, they made it. I know a bit of the personal story. There was other things, but the way that was put across is he got 5 years for graph.
That's right.
I know for a fact, third party of someone else arrested someone because the evidence fitted to a certain degree, not enough to substantiate, but they're trying to give me 2 years under the guise of catching this other person. They're going to make an example of me, you know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
How
do you escape something like that? How do you avoid... I mean, that's energy. Oh. What did you do? How did you brush this one under the carpet?
Like people would be, the headline was Pinch Inch, so there's just people coming up and nipping me like that, you know what I mean? It was like, Newcastle's a small place. It was, you know what I mean? It's hard. Because I don't know, you want acknowledgement from your piggers, but you want to get up enough so that it resonates culturally in the bigger thing.
How fast too far then if it's already resonating?
I don't know. I mean, things like that. It sort of bled. You know, like I was telling you before, come on.
Yeah.
It was in Viz.
Yeah, Viz.
Christmas,
of course.
Special, yeah. I had a poster.
Yeah, those who remember Viz comics, you know who you are. Yeah.
And there was an inch reach on the bike. Oh, whoa, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
So it was bigger than...
Commerciality, like, level.
It was bigger than graffiti, and it was in popular culture. You know, like yeah. There's one time we had a commission with BR when he came into Newcastle to paint the bridge. And this... we had a graffiti coordinator for Newcastle, and they did a lot of positive research, and we got to paint the track sides. But when we got there, I was just painting over my giraffe. but one of the BR workers come up to me, and he was talking to me, going, "Do you know that inchy?" Because it was it was the one name you could pull out of.
What did he say?
He's like, "You know that inchy guy?" And he was talking to me, and I'm like, "The odds of this fucking happening are fucking slim." And he's going, "They've caught him." I'm like, you know, like a kid from down south, they caught him with his ladders in the freight yard. And then a fucking panel went by, an inch panel. I mean, it was all... It sounds like I'm exaggerating. I'm honestly not exaggerating. There's people who was there, like Gatsby were there, who could verify it. And he was just going, there it is there. They've got him. And I just want to call shit on him and go, mate, you're like any old bloke in the pub your age. You're talking utter fucking shit. I'm inch.
Yeah.
But the hilarious thing is, beyond that, they'd cleaned all the graffiti off and did the commission graffiti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The team fucked it up, and they then cleaned our graffiti as well as the other bridge. So we got to do it twice. They paid for it. This is a spot historically for perhaps a 20-year period. I've had pieces there, and I painted it twice legally. But like the Frog March, these like shaved gorillas in high vis vests, and goes, "This graffiti stays. This good graffiti. You clean that graffiti.
Good graffiti stay. Bad graffiti go."
And it's just like. So I was having that conversation with him, telling me how I was from down south.
Neanderthals, man. Absolutely Neanderthals.
And then they cleaned the fucking wrong bit, and we got to do it again. And then, like, just a fucking train going by with my fucking panel on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a freight train.
You couldn't write it.
So, like, there's loads of surreal moments like that where, like, nothing else in life's getting me them set of experiences, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Graffiti itself, all it owes me is the experiences I've had for that, and they're precious and they're personal to me.
It's personal, isn't it?
You know,
but
like, yeah.
It's personal. It's a personal thing.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I've personalised my city because, like, when you live in a city, you've got a monologue coming one way from an authority point where it's either commercial stuff, like they're paid to be in the city in your public space, or stuff telling you what to do.
Yeah.
They don't like graffiti getting in there and shaking it up a bit, you know what I mean?
No.
But, like, yeah, it feels like my city because I've been part of the visual noise there my entire life. Well, not my entire life, my entire painting life, which is...
Oh, that's such a...
But it's how you react with that public, deemed public space.
Yeah.
And we're getting less and less say on that, you know what I mean?
So you're going to get more and more of the opposite?
Yeah. Well, there's a surveillance in that, but yeah.
It's incredible. What a lovely way of putting it, for me anyway. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Newcastle, stand up, man. We've got Donna General in the building. So the magazines are going to keep on going. The Hornby trains are going to keep on rolling.
Yeah, role model. Official.
Yeah, official. Man, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. My brother. Inch in the building.
Can I just big up my man, Alex?
Go for it. Big ups ahoy. Go for it.
Big up, Alex, aka Shit Ninja.
That's all you got for us.
If I start naming graffiti people, I'll miss someone, and then it'll be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'd need to
write a list and, like, just...
Yeah.
And can...
And he can't see anyway. Beautiful markup he's got going on. Killer Keller podcast, Ally In Was Out of Fashion. What a banging podcast. I'm going to enjoy editing this one. Big shout out to all the share carers, people that are sharing. Tell a friend. All right, crime don't pay, but neither do they. Don't talk to me and I wouldn't. Stay lucky, people. Nice one, Inch. Peace.
Thank you, man.